he talked a lot about the strike, and he talked about them having to go down to the muck stacks and scrabble for coals with their finger, you know, to get something to heat the house and so on. The other terrible thing was there were miners with their rough hands, developed soft hands, you know, the roughness went and so on. And the incident he did recall was that someone went up the muck stack collecting coal, and there was sort of self-combustion underneath some of the muck stacks, and it collapsed and fell in. So to my father, that was his abiding memory of somebody being buried in the muck stacks.
Was he glad to get out of the pit and become a politician?
No idea, really. I mean, obviously, it was, in terms of the pit, he became a mines inspector, but the thing that dominated his thoughts was being on the council. For example, after the war in 1945, many soldiers came home and there was a major housing crisis. My father's a councillor and he was local, far more than the councillors are today. And our front lounge was perpetually busy. They were queuing outside my father, outside our house, to see my father, you know, to natter him about houses, council houses and so on and so forth. So I remember that very well. But, I mean, there's never any peace in the house because there's always people calling.
Of course, by this time you'd moved to Eastview, I think, hadn't you? During
We moved out of Eastview into North Lane, 24 North Lane. And that was a part of the reason to do it, so he had a bigger lounge to see all his constituents and so on over various matters. So he was always at hand. So there's always somebody in the house.
What kind of a man was your father in terms of his politics? Was he a gregarious politician? Was he a hail fellow, well met to all the people he came across?
I think so, yeah. It was, you know, he was very personal and well liked. Labour members of Parliament. Then Parliament was much different to what it is now. And members of Parliament didn't get much in the way of a salary because most members of Parliament, well, for example, lawyers who still continued with their legal practice and went to Parliament in the evenings, for example, and many of them were London-based. But it was much superior than the Parliament of today in that most of the MPs, in actual fact, had a job. So when I went into the House of Commons occasionally, then I would meet some of his friends and they'd either work down the mines or they'd driven a railway engine. Or, you know, they come through the union side of things. So most people were practical members and had, they'd been counters maybe, but nevertheless, they had all knew what it was like to go out to work and to earn a living and had great practical experience of life. Now it's completely different. You get political apparatchiks who become members of the council, don't do any work, get elected to Parliament, and hardly anybody in Parliament at the moment knows what it's like to exist on a 9-to-5 job.
And do you think that the Labour members were respected by the Conservative members in that period of time because of that?
Yeah. You know the story that the young man just elected to Parliament joined Winston Churchill at the front bench, and so he said to Winston, looking at the opposition, he said, "So that's the enemy, is it, sir?" I said, "No, dear boy," he said, "the enemy is sitting behind us. That is Her Majesty's opposition." So my father's closest friend, in many ways, I mean, he had many Labour friends, but one of his it was his pair, you know, all sort of matched each other when they were covered for each other, when there was a vote, was Sir Malcolm Stoddart Scott, who lived at Arlington, who was a medic, actually. And they got on very well. They're very good, close friends. So, no, I mean, there's no... Well, there would have been some social divide with some, I suppose, but nevertheless, no, I don't think there was any too much side there.
What was your reaction when he was elected to Parliament and the family's reaction?
Well, we just took it as, oh well done. But I mean, the net effect was, of course, it's often forgotten what happens to MPs and so on. My father was away. So I was basically the man in the house. I mean, if there's the light bulb went and a fuse went or whatever. So, I mean, more or less. And it's not an easy life because you learn to exist. You're going all right Monday. My father went off first thing on a Monday, off and back Thursday night. So for a lot of the week, you lived at one sort of family life. And my father came back. And in some ways, at the beginning, you know, it would seem almost... that he was an intruder, because you've got one way of living and all, you know, and existing, and he was away. And then when he came back, he was just a bloody nuisance, basically, because he interfered with what was a nice, smooth way of going on. I don't think my mother thought it that way, but she did a bit, really, because, you know, it's extremely difficult sort of living any life like that. It has its great family tensions.
Where did he live when he was in London?
He lived in the County Hotel. It was a cheap hotel with a, you know, clean bedroom and all that sort of thing. No, but I mean, it was not like it is now with all these expenses. There were no expenses. So, I mean, he got his rail fare there and back. So he got home as soon as he could, because it cost him money.
How did he travel from home? You were in Park View by then, I think.
Park Lane, yeah.
Park Lane. Did he go into Leeds to catch a train or?
Yeah.
And go from Leeds Central on there?
Yeah. From time to time, he would get off in Wakefield and ring up and say, "Tell O'Brien, I'm going off train, I want to see him," sort of thing, you know, and start to go pick him up.
And once he got elected, he was there till as long as he wanted to be, I think.
He still had the same role as he had when he was chairman of the council. I mean, everybody knew him, and they came to see him about all sorts of problems, just the same sort of thing.
It was suggested that he'd been involved with John Paulson.
Yeah.
What's your side of that story?
The point is that MPs were poorly paid. I think that is a fact. All MPs developed outside interests and took on jobs. For example, Harold Wilson himself had a liaison with this chap who made a certain kind of raincoat. And then, of course, the trouble is, with doing that, if you've mixed up with the wrong guy, you become besmirched by that. And all the time, I mean, I think that no doubt when you are a Member of Parliament, there are all sorts of people approaching you and lobbying and one thing or another. So you're at a constant hazard. But Paulson was local, and my father had international contacts. And so more or less when he said to my father, you know, for example, he wanted to build a hospital in Malta, did Paulson. He said to my father, "Do you know him? Can you put in a good word for me?" On certain things like that, I think my father, therefore, was employed on an official basis by Paulson to, in actual fact, lobby for him, which all MPs were doing on both sides of the party. And the unfortunate thing is that Paulson was dishonest, and so he was tarred by the same brush, dragged into it.
There's a question, I think, that Albert asks in Parliament about what are the rules supposed to be, and I don't think they knew, they didn't have...
There weren't any rules. I mean, I think it's... the problem that we've had recently in Parliament has been on parliamentary expenses. And, I mean, they're saying, did anybody fiddle it? The point is that everybody did it, and they talked among themselves and said, "Well, no, you try that, you know." And so that was the atmosphere, and the atmosphere in my father's time was, then you've got to sort of join in with something and get some extra income, because... I mean, Harold Wilson was doing it, and they were all doing it in one way or another. And, I mean, you take, for example, a chap like Callaghan, Prime Minister Callaghan. There was a picture of him, I remember, and he was on a tractor ploughing his fields as a farmer with estates. Now, he started off as a clerk. Parliamentary salaries are poor. Even as a Prime Minister, you don't get paid all that much, not to become a member of the landed gentry. So he got quite a lot of money from somewhere. Edward Heath came from a relatively lowly family. There's no money in the family whatsoever. But he was racing ocean-going yachts. So, in other words, throughout it all, they were expected to supplement their income because the basic income wasn't enough.
And when the Paulson thing blew up, did that affect your father badly, or did it not affect him?
Well, there was a woman and her husband, who was a photographer, he knew quite well in London. She said he had to make a statement apologising to the House, I think. And she said, "I was with your father before he went in." She said, "Never battered an eyelid."
So he was quite confident about his behaviour. And
the point is, the father was a politician and an MP. Now, most politicians are like actors who appear on the stage. You know, there's no business like show business. And most actors, if you give them half a chance, they'll appear on television doing anything, so long as they're in the public gaze. And my father loved being in the public gaze. And so when he appeared in Parliament and spoke to Parliament, it didn't matter damn what the occasion was, he was there. And it just was like water off a duck's back. let there be no mistake about this, it hardly affected my father at all. He didn't care. But I'll tell you this, it affected me, and it affected my sister, and it affected my mother. Don't forget, I was in professional life at the time, and this was talked about all over. It was all over the newspapers. But to my father, it didn't matter. It didn't affect him. He didn't worry about it. He didn't care.
It goes back to what happened to you when you, like when you were a child. Is suffered the right word?
I think yes, in many ways. But my father just went through life, you know, just sailed through life.
What was he like as an old man?
Just the same as he was as a young man. I mean, he was no different. I mean, what he did, I mean, he was very upset when my mother died and so on, but it wasn't long after that he's walking through the village and he saw this woman in her 80s that he fancied in the schoolyard when he was at school, and he invited her out on a date to a candlelit supper. You know, I mean, and he just sailed through it, didn't he? Sailed through it all. I mean, nothing sort of, you know. He could get upset and be... But, I mean, if he was upset, it was more or less my father that it was a sort of... something that affected his dignity, really, you know. In other words, I mean, he was being ignored. So my father had to be, you know...
The centre of attention.
Yeah. And, I mean, put it this way. I mean, I would, you know, won various prizes and did various other things, you know, so on. And my father would put it in the newspaper and he would say, you know, Brian Roberts, so-and-so, has won this. Brian Roberts is the son of Albert Roberts, MP, who did ABC. A potted biography of my father would follow. You know, in sort of, you know, it appeared when we were engaged. I used to get that awful shock, so I'd find this in the newspaper. So I was in the medical school, and we got engaged. So I came in the medical school, you know, picked up the evening paper, and I said, ah! That was my picture. And I locked it in. And it says, you know, I'm Brian Roberts, the medical student son of Albert Roberts, MP. And he's done it again. Oh, dear.
He masterminded his own publicity.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, father was very much larger than life, I'm telling you.
But through the Poulsen thing, did you kind of draw down the hatches and not talk to people or for a few months or...?
Well, nobody... I mean, I didn't really get asked about it. It was just that you... You know, I was walking the dog, as I've been doing for years, up walking the golf course, and next to one of the holes there's a teeing off, and everybody's talking about the Poulsen case, you know, and you were aware of it, and there's a newspaper here. And by this time, it was getting very difficult, because I was a consultant at the infirmary, you know, and you have some standing of my own. You don't want things like that happening. But my father didn't care. I mean... But affected it, and it's quite unpleasant being the centre of attention to a certain extent. Well, we got through it. I mean,
would you say your mother was devoted to him?
Oh yeah, but she was very much a passive figure, really. But she had to be, and I think that was it. I mean, mother actually didn't cope all that well, to a certain extent. I once remember listening to an argument my father was carrying on at her because. I think my mother, I mean, my career's really been a great success. I got to the top in medicine. But I think my mother had much rather have been a joiner or a decorator or worked at. She said, all you wanted our Brian to be was an electrician at the pit or something like that. And if it had been like that, and popping in to see my mother every day and somebody should have said, it'd be fine. And, you know, my father escalated into all these sort of... different social levels and so on, and then of course I went the same way, and she would probably rather have had a son back at some stage, but that's how it was, really.